Good morning. This morning, I want to bring text from Jude, and I've entitled it Call to Be Contenders. If you're familiar with boxing, when someone becomes licensed professionally, they have to fight their way up through the ranks if they want a shot at a title, and they're called contenders. Takes a lot of discipline, a lot of training, a lot of beatings for a person to reach the point where they can challenge the belt holder. And I want to talk about Christians being called to be contenders. Of course, God doesn't call us to crack heads and blow things up and burn buildings down. But we are called to fight for the faith, especially to defend the faith. Father, I thank you for all who are here this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord. Your word is truth. You said, like the snow and the rain, you send to water the earth. It doesn't return to you empty, but it accomplishes what you send it out to do. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will have your way in this service this morning, that I might decrease, that you may increase. Lord, that you will enable me to bring this text, take it to our hearts, help us to examine ourselves, Lord, and see if we are failing in this area. I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Jude writes, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." The Greek word here translated contend means to fight. The root word from which it's derived means to strive for, to fight an adversary, to strive for a prize. Jude began this letter by saying that he wanted to talk about the common salvation, the good things. He said, "I'd rather talk about our common salvation, but I found it necessary." Why did he find it necessary? Because false teachers had infiltrated the church. They were preaching another gospel, or trying to. So Jude said, "I thought it necessary to write and remind you to contend for the faith." As I said, God doesn't expect us to square off and throw hands with people, or burn things down, or blow things up. But he does expect his church to defend the faith. It's the truth. I've heard some say that Jesus was a non-confrontational teacher who only preached tolerance and love. I had a young minister once tell me that we as ministers need to be more like Jesus. And I said, "I agree with that 100%. He said, "Well, we need to preach like Jesus." I said, "I agree 100%. I said, "Nobody ever loved like Jesus, and they nailed him to a tree." So sometimes the temptation is to skirt around certain issues in the Word, to dummy it down. I believe they call it now a seeker-friendly gospel. But I reminded this young man, when you're called to preach and teach, you're called to preach and teach the truth. Now, it's hard to keep your opinion out of that. I'll grant that. But we are called to preach and teach the truth. And the truth is the Word of God. God doesn't change. He said to Moses, "I am not a man that I lie, nor am I a son of man that I change my mind." But many churches today are presenting a pseudo-gospel, and they do so to gain popularity, to increase their numbers, to put butts in the seats, just to put it bluntly. increase their giving. They don't want to offend anyone. But I say to you this morning, you cannot preach the mercy of God if you do not understand the justice of God. That's what His mercy is all about. God is a just God. God said, I will not leave sins unpunished. Moses said to the people of Israel, be sure your sins will find you out. You can't hide from God. But God in His mercy has offered forgiveness to us. So many times people want to preach forgiveness but not repentance. They want to preach conversion but not commitment. Many of the churches today, instead of contending for the faith, concede. Well, the cultural norms have changed. You know, people are accepting these things, and we need to be loving and accepting and tolerant. Now, as I said, I've had people tell me Jesus was a very non-confrontational, tolerant, loving rabbi. So I brought an excerpt from a sermon he preached in Matthew 23 to the religious leaders of his days. I didn't include the whole sermon for time's sake. But Jesus said, hypocrites, blind guides, you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgent. Outwardly you look righteous to people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed, and you decorate the monuments of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Then you say, if we had lived in the day of our ancestors, we would never have joined them in killing the prophets. But in saying that, you testify against yourselves that you are indeed the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead and finish what your ancestor started. Snakes, sons of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell? Yeah, that sounds pretty tolerant and non-confrontational to me. We forget sometimes. Jesus had a temper just like we have a temper. Jesus had a point he wouldn't be pushed away, pushed back beyond. There was a line he didn't cross. Now his frustration with these teachers of the law was they weren't teaching the law. They were pulling bits and pieces of the law and obeying that. But he said, you're leaving justice and mercy and faith undone. He said, you ought to do that. When somebody tells me Jesus was very tolerant, non-confrontational, I just laugh to myself. I think, well, you must be reading a different book than I am. He unloaded on the religious leaders of his day. Now, he showed mercy towards sinners. And I think because some of them honestly didn't know any better. And the Lord showed compassion. But these people that claim they knew and were misrepresenting the Word of God, our Lord had nothing but cutting and stinging rebukes. And in the end, He said, how are you going to escape hell? Now that's a guy that came to save him from hell. And if he's to ask you that kind of question, that would make me do some soul searching. I mean, if the Lord looked at me and said, Rick, how are you ever going to escape hell? I'd say, oh boy, I'm in trouble. Because He's the one that came to deliver me from hell and deliver you. Some churches don't even believe in hell anymore. They don't believe in demons. They don't believe in angels. They're like the Sadducees. I've shared with you before, one place I worked, a woman came up, and after I'd been there a while, said, I understand you're a preacher. And I said, yeah. Well, I don't believe in hell. I said, okay. Well, aren't you going to argue? I said, no. Well, most preachers tell me I'm going to hell because I don't believe in hell. I said, what good would that do if you don't believe in hell for me to tell you you're going? That doesn't make sense. She said, well, aren't you going to try to convince me that hell is real? I said, no, ma'am, I can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can. I said, you need the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convinced you that hell is real. I can't do that. So you're not even going to argue. I said, no, I'm not going to waste my breath. Why should I? And she walked away triumphantly like she had won an argument, you know. I didn't see any point in arguing. As I said, we're not called to duke it out with people. We're not called to get into screaming matches. But we are called to defend the faith. Is it worth defending? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's worth defending. Joe read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah this morning. It reminds us of the terrible things that Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. And sometimes we have to suffer for him. Jesus said, you're blessed if you're persecuted for my name. You're blessed if people revile you. But he said, woe unto you if the world speaks well of you, because that's what they did to the false prophets. No church, no person has any right to tamper with the Word of God. The warning in Revelation, I believe, pertains for the whole book. God said, don't mess with this book. Don't tamper with this book. But yet many today feel like they have that privilege and even an obligation. Well, we got to play it down. You know, we don't want to offend people, and they'll quit coming to church before they get to hear the truth. Well, speak the truth. If they reject the truth, they reject the truth. That's between them and the Lord. We are required to present the truth. I'm only a mouthpiece. I don't think I'm better than anyone else. I don't think I'm holier than anyone else. In fact, there's still a lot of work the Lord's got to do with me. I know it, and he knows it, and most of you probably know it. But you know what? I'm not the man I was when Jesus Christ saved me. He's in the life-changing business. How dare any church stand up and say, well, once you're saved, you can continue living an immoral life and you're going to heaven. You'll just lose some rewards. I got news for you. They're going to ship your saddle the other way. You're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. They tried that at Corinth. Paul said, some of you were homosexuals, some of you were drunkards, but you were washed, but you were made holy. He said, don't be deceived. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I had an elder's wife in one church tell me once, well, Rick, you know, I was a drunkard. I was a drunkard. They call it alcoholic. I didn't soft pedal. I was a drunkard. And she said, well, Rick, if you're a drunkard and you come to Christ and you're saved, you shouldn't go back to it. But if you do, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll just lose your rewards. I said, so I had to repent of being a drunkard, but I can go back to doing it? Well, if you're really saved, you won't. I said, that's circular reasoning. Where are you coming from? The book I'm reading didn't say that. Jesus came and said, repent. Peter said, repent. Paul said, repent. Change your mind. Stop fighting with God. And people today say, well, I'm not fighting with God. I'm just trying to soften the blow. You know, I don't want to offend people. I don't like offending people. I don't like people being angry at me. But you know what? I'd rather have the whole world hate my guts and stand before my Father and him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd rather hear that. When Jesus rebuked, it was out of love. You know, I hear a lot of talk about love today. And like the rest of the English language, people have redefined love. Sometimes in love, you have to rebuke. Do you ever get a spanking when you was a kid? I got many of them. My daddy told me out of all six of his kids, he said, I was the one that had to learn everything the hard way. He said, I tell you not to do something or you're going to get a whipping, and I knew you was going to turn around and do it. Watch the fingers pointing out here. And I had to look back and I said, yeah, you're right. I remember that, Dad. Don't do that or you're going to get a whipping. And I did it. And then I was so shocked when I got a whipping. Yeah. I'd say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And my dad would say, you bet you're not going to do that anymore. That belt would heat up my rear end and the heat would go to my ears and melt the wax and then I could hear fine. Yeah. But you know what? My dad loved me. That's why I got spankings. My mother loved me. That's why I got spankings. God loves us. That's why he disciplines us. Paul said he'll chastise us, and nobody likes chastisement. But he said he'll do that because he doesn't want to judge us with the world. We got to preach the truth, church. We got to teach the truth. You don't concede. You don't compromise. You contend. You defend the faith. Jesus did it. He called the religious people of his day to the carpet. He didn't pull them into a inner room in the temple going, now come on guys, you know, let's talk. He exposed them for what they were publicly. Now as I said, we're not to go around looking for fights. But when the opportunity presents itself, church, we need to defend the faith. My Bible says that homosexuals and lesbians and drunkards and thieves and liars will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized or how much you profess that the blood of Jesus Christ is covering you. Sin is sin. And the Bible says, let all those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity, not play with it. Not cuddle it. This is my sin. And I don't really think it's sin, God, but it's mine. I told you one year in Bible college, every year we went before a board of doctors, you know, and they wanted it. Well, what'd you learn this year? About my third year, they said, what have you learned? I said that only the Ten Commandments were carved in stone. And I can't believe you want me to give up something as holy as my opinion. And they said, that's exactly where we want you, brother. Defend the faith. I hear preachers today, and as I said, I wonder, what book are you reading? It's okay to be gay. God made you that way. That's not the book I'm reading. Well, brother, but that's hateful if you take a different stance. No, it's the truth. There's nothing hateful about it. Well, that's intolerant. No, that's honesty. I warn people. I will warn people. I have warned people. And they don't always greet you with a big old hug and a sloppy kiss. I've been cussed. Defamed. One woman told me she thought I was demon possessed. I said, thank you. I'm in good company. They accused Jesus of the same thing. Oh, now you think you're like Jesus. Well, I'm striving to be. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they hate me, they'll hate you. Church, let's quit trying to win favor with the world. The Bible says if you're the world's friend, you're God's enemy. Now, I'm saying again, that doesn't mean we got to go around being belligerent and hateful. I see people, professed Christians, walk around looking like they've been sucking an ice cube and they got bad teeth. You know, they just got that sour look on their face. Bless God, you need to become a Christian so you can look like me. No, thank you. I can get drunk and be an idiot, you know. But it doesn't always mean you're going to walk around with a big stupid grin on your face. When the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord, that doesn't mean I'm going to be happy all the time. But it's the assurance. I was at a doctor's office the other day, and they said, "Do you ever feel hopeless? Do you ever get depressed?" I said, "Well, yeah, everybody gets depressed." "Well, do you ever feel a sense of hopelessness?" "Nope. My hope's in Jesus Christ, not in the things of the world." Our government's gone to hell in a handbasket. Politics are not going to save us. Now, I hope Trump wins the election. I'm probably not supposed to say that in the pulpit, but oh well. Amen. Amen, yes. But I'll tell you what, Donald Trump's not my savior. Donald Trump's a fallible man. My hope's in Jesus Christ. And I found out this RMP, she was a Christian. And we started talking about the Lord. I like those kind of office calls. I said, "No, I don't feel hopeless. Do I get depressed? Yeah. Do I get frustrated? Very. Do I get tired? Mm-hmm. Do I get angry? Yeah. But I don't feel hopeless. I've read to the end of the book. God wins. Someday that devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible promises that. But the sad thing is, whoever's name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown right in behind him. Church, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to present the truth of the Word, and the Word doesn't change. God doesn't change. The message does not change. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and until you realize that you are a sinner, you cannot be saved. There are so many false conversions going on today. Y'all want conversion without commitment? I want to call Jesus Savior, but not Lord. No preacher's going to tell me how to live. I had a guy told me that one time. I said, "I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm telling you what the Word says." But if the Holy Ghost is telling you what to do, you better listen to Him. You can get away with not listening to me. You can call me an idiot and walk away, and no consequence, but... You tell the Holy Spirit you don't know what you're doing or you're an idiot. Well, yeah. I guess sometimes the world attacks us because they can't get to God. We're the closest thing they can get to, so they're going to attack us and malign us. But what did Jesus say? Rejoice. It's kind of hard to rejoice when somebody just cussed you out, but I've often wondered how that would be if somebody just called you a dirty dog. You just said, "Well, praise God," and give them a hug. "Thank you." I don't know, it might not work out too well. Isn't God a good God? Is God the truth? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ the truth? Is He the way, the truth, and the life? Then let's present it that way. If people get upset, say, "I'm sorry this has upset you, but out of love I'm telling you the truth. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven if you continue in this." Paul had to do it. He had to rebuke Peter in front of a church because Peter wasn't walking honestly. And later in a letter, Peter called him the beloved. The Bible says you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you for it. Or a wise woman. Too many people wear their feelings out here. They get them hurt way too easy. And then once they get their feelings hurt, it takes a long time for them to get over it, if they ever do. You just have to resign yourself to the fact that not everybody's going to accept the good news with open arms and love. But we're called to take a stand. We're called to be contenders. And I told Greg Brandon, I looked that word up, and that's what it means, fight. We're called to fight. We're called to defend the faith. Not to be mousy, not to be wimpy. It's time for the churches of Jesus Christ to pick a side and get on it. Jesus said, you're either gathering in or you're scattering. Pick a side and stay on that side. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't go back and forth. Don't try to straddle the fence. You try straddling the fence, you're going to get sore in your get along. It's what I used to be told. Pick a side and get on it. Paul said, let God's curse fall on anyone, including an angel who brings a different gospel. I don't want to be in that group. Now, do I keep my opinions out of messages? No. You all know that. I'm very opinionated. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them and they usually stink. But we got them. But the Word of God is true. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. People want to argue, do what the Lord did. Tell them the truth and walk off. I've noticed that so many times that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would try debating and the Lord would present the truth, then he'd just turn around and walk off, leave them talking to themselves. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. You never know what kind of seed you're going to plant, people. Paul said to the church at Galatia, I'm obviously not trying to win the approval of people, because if I was, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Wow. God doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. The gospel of Jesus Christ has never changed. People change it. He hasn't. Why is it called the good news? That's what gospel means, good news. Because he came to save us. But it's on his terms, not ours. You and I don't get to pick out what we like and what we do not like. I've had people over years say, well, the Bible was written by men. Well, stupid, most books are written by men and women, so what's your point? You know, I'll read L. Ron Hubbard and I just agree with every word he says, but he's a man. Well, yeah, but I agree with what he says. There's the issue. That Bible was written by men. Yeah. So it's full of error. Well, show me one. Well, I know there's error in there somewhere. That's generally what happens. God's word is truth. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe it. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, having done everything to stand, stand. That's the best advice I think we can have as believers. Paul said, do everything to stand and then stand. Stand your ground, plant your feet, and say this is the truth. And it doesn't change. And we're not going to change the message. As long as God gives me breath in my lungs, as long as I'm in a pulpit here or anywhere else, I will endeavor to preach the truth. Not for my glory, not for a pat on the back, but because it is the truth, I believe it's the truth. And people need to hear the truth. Somebody once said they were tired of me knocking sex and drugs. And I said, well, I guess if that's your favorite pastime, you're not going to like me knocking it, but... tired of hearing you talk about immorality. We'll get out of it and I won't talk about it anymore. It's all I know to tell people. Good night. I was an immoral person. I was profane. I was vile. But one night I called out to God and said, have mercy on me, and he did. And you know what? I'm not that person anymore. Am I still a work in progress? Yeah, I got a lot of work yet. Or God has a lot of work. Sometimes I don't always bend to his will. But I'm not the man I used to be, and I give all the glory to him, not to me. He's in the business of changing lives. I was a vile man. Now I'm a saint. I'm thinking about having some medallions made. No. I'm just joking. But I'm a saint. Why? Because the Bible says that. The Bible says, once I was not a child of God, but now I am. Once I was not a people, but now we are. Do you understand that, Gentiles, that at one time we were not God's people, but the Bible says now we are the people of God? We're not pushing Israel out. In fact, if you want to be unflattered, God said through Moses, I will make you jealous by a foolish nation. Thanks, Lord. Jesus Christ is in the business of changing lives. But people have to understand they need to change. And we have to be bold enough and loving enough to tell them that. It's not always the popular thing to do. It's not the most comfortable thing to do. But sometimes, church, it has to be done. Job said, contend for the faith. Defend the faith. There were false teachers pouring in, and Job, where am I at? Jude. What did he say to that church? You defend the faith. That's not the faith that was preached. You call it for what it is. You run from them false teachers like you'd run from a cotton mouth. And believe me, that's the only time you ever see this fat boy run. But if I come across the cottonmouth or something, you're going to see me do some high stepping and get away from it. Don't be afraid to defend the truth. Paul said to a young pastor named Timothy, if we deny the Lord, he will deny us. But he can't deny himself. I don't want to deny him either, do you? No. Is the faith and the truth of God worth defending? Yeah. It's worth defending. As I said, I've read to the end of that book, he wins. And Jesus said it's going to be the ones that endure to the end are going to win with him. Would you stand with me this morning? It's not always easy. Especially when you're talking to people you're very close to and you know they need the Lord and your heart just aches because you want to share the Lord with them, and sometimes you're rejected and reviled, but you just share the truth. You leave the ball in their court. You present the truth to them and say it's up to you. Pray for them. God can touch hearts in ways that you and I can't. And I think sometimes that's the best way for us to reach people that we know. Bathe it in prayer. If they reject it, you go on.